Todd Mack.
And I'm Joe Dorowski.
We're the hosts of the Protagonist Podcast, where each week we discuss a great character in a great story.
If you listen to us, your fancy will be tickled.
And your thoughts will be provoked.
One reviewer described us as fanboys with PhDs.
Our discussions cast a wide net, alternating between TV, comics, films, and novels.
In one episode, we may discuss a Spanish telenovela, and the next week, an American superhero comic.
That was January 2016.
Or one week, we might discuss a Japanese manga, and the following week, a Jane Austen novel.
That was October 2016.
Check out the Protagonist Podcast.
Great characters in great stories.
Dueling Genre.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute. We're the daily podcast where we cover the movie Rocky 1 minute at a time. I'm Doug Greenberg.
And I'm Jason Haynes.
Joining us again, live via satellite from Detroit, Michigan, our good friend Chris Goff from Stallone Fanatics. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Jason. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, we're doing good. It's been a long day. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever.
Right.
Today, we are knocking out minute 37, which begins with Rocky awkwardly listening to Paulie yelling at Adrian, and it ends with Paulie holding a turkey leg. the turkey scene, man. We finally got to the turkey minute.
Oh, this is my moment right here.
I didn't forget about what I wanted to talk to you about, the Mike Kunda information.
All right. Yeah.
I wanted to do it for one of our shorter minutes, so. We'll get to it. So here we go. Paulie.
Jeez, crap.
I want people to come back today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day.
Be at minute 86. Chris is calling. We still have to go over that Mike Kunda thing.
Chris, I'm going to hurt Jay with this because Jay particularly has a soft spot for the music of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So when he finds out this bit of info, it might crush him.
What?
Uh-oh.
This is the teaser?
Yeah,
it's the teaser. Oh, my God. Now you've got me.
You and the fans. All right, so Paulie continues yelling at Adrian to get out of the house as Rocky takes a seat on the end table watching uncomfortably. She says she can't go. Paulie, being the sweet, nurturing older brother, tells her not to get wise with him and says he's tired of her being a loser.
She likes that word.
For herself and, loser. Oh, yeah. He did that in the bathroom, too, called her a loser. But she sticks up for herself and tells him she's not a loser. Don't call her that. So Rocky turns his attention to the TV where a news anchor is talking about Apollo Creed trying to fill the vacancy for the big fight. But it's not, you can't get the whole gist of it. So let me read it from the script. This is the commentator. Unfortunate luck for fifth-ranked heavyweight Mack Lee Green. The slugging fighter acquired a serious fracture in his left hand after an aggressive day of sparring. Champion Apollo Creed says he'll be shopping for another victim to fill Green's vacancy for the Bicentennial Championship fight to be held in Philly next month. By the way, rumor has it that this will be the most widely viewed sporting event in the entire world, and that includes the Super Bowl. Folks, today, U.S. He goes on
swimmers.
To a different story about swimmers setting a new something. The most widely viewed sporting event in the entire world. Do you remember when boxing was that big?
In our lifetime, it was Mike Tyson, Tyson Holyfield, Tyson Lennox Lewis. They were, mm-hmm. But I don't think they beat out Super Bowls, did they?
I don't think anything has beaten out a Super Bowl in recent history.
I think back in the early days of boxing when it was televised, I think that might have been the case, but that would have been probably before the Super Bowl started.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. The days of Muhammad Ali and whatnot.
Right.
I think that the line here, though, shows a little bit, obviously, to Creed's arrogance, because he plays it up like he's given an underdog an opportunity, a chance, like he's like this goodwill kind of guy. Like, I'm going to give somebody a chance who doesn't have a chance. But then he says, I'll be shopping for another victim. That doesn't sound very welcoming and hey,
right.
Take your chance. It sounds like a step in the ring so I can kill you.
That's pretty much what he was looking for.
But and the speech, I was into the speech in the office about the land of opportunity and that stuff. Like, I bought into that.
But then he said he'll drop this chump in three. Southpaw nothing.
But this comes on the TV, it catches Rocky's attention. Like, he hears it, he's looking at it. He doesn't know, obviously, yet that it's going to be him, but,
right.
You know, he's the victim, but he, you know, you can see he notices it right away.
Chris, a couple weeks ago, the question, or was it last week, the question was asked, like, is Apollo Creed, like, what he's doing by giving Snow White underdog a chance, is it self-serving, or is it charitable or benevolent?
I think that the crux of it is that it's definitely self-serving. I mean, it's, there's nothing better than, you know, offering up to the world this opportunity to somebody who would never otherwise have it, you know, and but what that draws for him is a whole lot of publicity. And then, of course, everybody's going to be, oh, he's such a great guy, you know, because he gives somebody who had no chance an opportunity to fight the greatest fighter in the world, you know. So it's, I think, very self-serving character in the film.
But it could have been, and we talked about this early on, too, about how Carl Weathers wanted to play Apollo Creed like the antagonist, but not a villain.
Right.
And you don't go through this movie hating Apollo Creed. But then again, you don't look at these little nuances of his and being like, this is all about him and his publicity and his image.
Well, and I think that's kind of like it was, with, you know, Muhammad Ali himself, who this character is kind of molded after, you know, was that way. I mean, he was, I don't know, he was kind of arrogant, but at the same time, lovable to a lot of people, you know, so he kind of had that same duality.
I agree.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, there was people that hated Ali straight out, too, but I think, you know.
I it seems like that would be a very difficult thing to pull off.
What, like a likable villain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just Carl Weathers to portray that, but for a guy like Muhammad Ali, who that's how he lived.
Yep.
But I don't think Muhammad Ali, I don't know. I don't really know much about him, but a real villain wouldn't give this opportunity. He would just, you know. He wouldn't give him this chance, some unknown name fighter. So,
yeah, because anybody who's that self-serving normally, you know, wouldn't want to fight just some bum. You know, they would want some big name, you know, so they could say, "Hey, I knocked out this guy who's ranked such and such," you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
but
because even if he wins, I mean, if Apollo Creed, which does, like, even if he, you know, we're looking at it from his point of view before, and even if he wins, it doesn't matter. So he's going to beat up a no-name bum, basically. So what's, you know,
right.
the only thing he can do here is lose.
Right.
It's all about the bicentennial fight. It has to be done on January 1st of the bicentennial year for some reason.
Whatever.
Yep. The ultimate gala spectacle.
Now, you know it. He's got a way with words, that Creed.
He does.
The Italian stallion. So we're back to Adrian saying, why didn't you tell me you were bringing him home? And Paulie says, how do you know I didn't? how do you know I didn't? Like, how do you know I didn't tell you? That's what I got out of it. I don't know how else you can interpret that.
Yeah.
But she protests some more as Paulie pulls open her door and asks her why. She says, it's Thanksgiving and she got a turkey in the oven. She kind of withdraws a little bit there. Like, she shies up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, she,
yep.
Like, she's afraid of him, maybe. The way she's like, it's Thanksgiving. I got a turkey in the oven. Speaking of the turkey in the oven.
Oh, boy. This is... The way Paulie says, though, oh, a turkey in the oven. Oh, a turkey in the oven. I must have rewound and listened to that 100 times.
This is a good one. So he goes to the oven and opens it up, grabs the turkey with a pot holder in one hand and jams the knife up its ass. And Adrian's just standing at the door watching like she knows what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But you notice, he does rip himself off a leg before he throws it out.
Oh yeah, he's not going hungry.
That's right.
How angry do you have to be to throw a fresh hot turkey, take it out of the oven and throw it outside? Like, turkey's delicious.
Yeah, what a waste.
Like, this is a true story. I went to Stop and Shop today, and I bought one of those rotisserie chickens for my son, because he likes to eat it. So I brought it home, and I cut it up for him, and I put it on his plate, and he ate it, and I put the rest in the refrigerator for tomorrow. And, like, he ate most of it, but then he had, like, some of it he left on his plate. He had some that fell out of his mouth. He had some that he pulled out of his mouth. Some landed on the floor. And, like... I didn't even throw that away. I went and ate all of that. I ate the turkey off the Mickey Mouse plate. I ate it off the floor. I even used his little fork to get the stuff off the high chair. And this guy threw a fresh, hot turkey outside onto the alley. Like, how mad do you have to be, or how much of an You gonna bleep out if I say asshole?
No,
or are
no.
you to throw a turkey out of the oven into the alley?
He, you know, I was hoping you would say after you cut off what Kyle was gonna eat that you threw the turkey out in the backyard.
No. I'm saying I couldn't even throw away already chewed up rotisserie chicken. I gotta throw the whole turkey away.
How much food do you think has littered the alley behind the Panino house?
This is not Paulie's first meal he's thrown out into that alleyway. No way.
The look on Adrian's face is absolute indication of that.
Yeah, but she knew it was coming. But his line here before he rips off the leg.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. Say the line for us.
All right. You want the bird? Go in the alley and eat the bird.
Oh,
classic. Poetry.
That's a great line.
They did about 10 to 15 takes of that, of him throwing a turkey out in the backyard. There was a couple of stagehands standing there with a blanket that caught the turkey each time.
Really?
Same turkey, because they only had money in the budget for one f***ing turkey.
Imagine that.
So every time they catch the bird, they have to bring the bird back into the door. They have to pin the leg back on because he rips it off each time. That by the time they did all the takes, that turkey was tattered and cold. So, I mean, it looks nice and warm, but
looks delicious.
I assure you it wasn't.
I would eat it off the blanket in the alley.
Oh, God.
But poor heartbroken Adrian, she gives the, oh, Paulie. And starts crying, runs back into the bedroom. And then, again, he's yelling at it that he wants her out of the house. Like, you just broke this poor girl's heart. Just give her a minute.
But he says a bunch of times, though, he says, like, enjoy, like he says this, I mean, enjoy your freaking life. Although he's abrasive, all his loud, drunk, abrasive, turkey-throwing self, it seems like he cares about her. He wants her to... He set this whole thing up. He wants her to get out there, go out with Rocky, enjoy your life, stop drying up around the house. So it's like he does obviously care about her. It's his sister.
Yeah, he just... Paulie just has a very particular way of showing it. That's all it is.
I wonder how many quiet conversations he's had with her early on when he's like, you know what, it's probably better off... It's probably good for you if you just go out and have a good time, enjoy yourself. And then after countless of those, now he's at the point he's like, get out of the freaking house!
I don't know, man. I don't think any. I don't think there's been a quiet conversation in this house ever.
Yeah, I don't think Paulie has an inside voice.
No, yeah, all right, no, you make a good point.
I think he's just one gear and that's it, man. Like, I don't think they're ever sitting around watching TV and he's like, you know, that Rocky guy's nice. He seems to like you. Why don't you go out with him? Why don't you give him a chance? I don't think that conversation has ever happened.
All right. I mean, that's all I got. It's pretty much the end of the minute here. So
I got to hear this story now because you've got me intrigued now.
Yeah,
crushed.
We'll say it now.
Oh, boy.
Now, Chris, I think on the interview that you did with Ryan, it was him that said that he found out, or you put it on the Stallone Fanatics page.
Yeah,
the piece going the distance in round 14 when Apollo knocks Rocky down, that was not created by Bill Conti for this movie specifically, correct?
Right. It was created by Bill Conti, but it was created, I think, 3 years earlier for an Italian singer, a female Italian singer.
Which one is this?
The Going the Distance. Is that what it was called? Going the Distance, right?
Yeah, yep. It's the one where, you know, Mick going down, down, stay down.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the round, Rocky gets up for and he calls Apollo over for those last, like, three or four gut shots before the round ends.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite pieces of the whole movie.
Well, it was still written by Bill Conti, so he...
Sure. But he didn't watch that scene and say, and create it for that scene. If you, on your page, I think it was back... I found I had to go through, I don't know how many dozens of posts to find it, but it was back in like the end of September, I think.
Yeah.
As this is released, this is the week of Thanksgiving.
Right.
So the listeners are going to have to go back quite a few months to find it, but I mean,
yeah, I have to really have to give Mike Cunda the shout out because it was originally him that as far as my knowledge of it goes, that's where I got it from was Mike. He had posted it. This was back probably over a year ago now, and then it got brought back up again when the conversation started about Robert Tepper's No Easy Way Out supposedly not actually being written for Rocky IV. And Mike couldn't find the video.
That was another one, yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't find the video for the Italian song on YouTube anymore. So I basically just went back in the history of Stallone Fanatics because I had posted it after he did. And I found it, and then it wouldn't let me share it. So I actually made my own video out of it and posted it to the page. And it broke Ryan's heart. Because you know he's a purist, so
yeah.
even though it's a Bill Conti piece, it still wasn't written for Rocky specifically. So
from what I found out, you know, from listening to Ryan, is you can't pull back the curtain on that guy because, like you said, yeah, he's a purist.
Yep. Yeah.
if you can find it, can you bring it up to the top of your feed to make it fresh? Or I'll try to share it on our listeners page too.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Excellent. Because I listened to it, and you can tell it's like a really slow, kind of mellow version of it. But
right,
it's definitely that melody.
I'll have to, after we're done recording, I'll do that.
Cool, man, cool. Yeah, but, you know, I mentioned that it's Thanksgiving week in the Panino house. It's Thanksgiving week here in USA.
That's right.
So we got plenty more Thanksgiving with Paulie and Adrian to go. So, yeah, do you want to just remind the listeners real quick how to find you?
Sure. We're on Facebook in groups, Stallone Fanatics, and you can find our podcast by the same name on CastBox or Blueberry.com. And, yeah, or you can message me anytime directly if you have any questions or whatever. And we're out there. We're pretty active on Facebook, so...
Yeah, I said it yesterday. The stuff you've been posting is incredible. So everybody check
Thanks,
it out.
I appreciate that.
No problem. As for us, we're on Twitter, at Rocky Minute. You can join our Facebook listeners page, Mighty Mix. You can find us on duelinggenre.com. That's our host website. Scott Corelli gracefully invited us to join his family over there. What did I say?
I think he said gracefully.
He was doing a dance when he asked me. But he invited us to join his family over there, and you know, it's great. It's great because I don't know if we would have been able to make a website just for a Rocky Minute. So I can't thank him enough for that. So come back tomorrow for some more Thanksgiving antics on the next Rocky Minute.